Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are Going In Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here, and welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here, youtube.com/ Steve and that guy on vacation. He's still gone, but today is the last day. You're going to have to put up with Steve here going solo. Larson texted me a couple hours ago, said, I've landed, I'm on the tarmac, I can Skype in. And I said, don't worry, SmackDown was boring as shit. Nothing happened on SmackDown. Nothing was advanced on SmackDown last night, except for a couple formalities, which we all saw coming anyways. There were some good things. There were some bright spots, and I'm going to talk about those a lot today. But by and large, I said, Larson, look, you can if you want to, but you're on vacation. Go enjoy your family. Have a good time with them. Just really, really... Take as much time as you need. I know he's coming back tomorrow. He's going to be here in the studio tomorrow. In the studio, in my office tomorrow. And so everything will be back to normal. Dad is coming back. Everything's going to be back to normal. But I felt like today, like if there was some huge development or some huge swerve, some like massive thing happened on SmackDown, I'd be like, yeah, by all means, go ahead and Skype in. I said, Larson, just leave it alone. It's okay. Go be with your family. Everything's cool. Nothing happened. I have nothing to talk about today. It's probably going to be like a 10-minute podcast. Probably not, because I'm actually going to talk about SmackDown. But anyways, Larson's gone. Anyways, like I was saying, you can find the show at youtube.com/ Steven Larson. Anywhere fine podcasts are available. Be sure to that subscribe button and also a little notify bell on YouTube right next to it. It lets you know whenever there's new Going In Raw content. We're also available at the Patreon, patreon.com/ Steven Larson. We've got 53 people watching right now. More than yesterday. What's up with that? The SmackDown episode is better than... I didn't even tweet this out. I should probably tweet this out. So we got... And that's at the, $5 a month Patreon mark. You get 3 live streams. A Raw recap, SmackDown recap, and NXT 205 live recap. You get those, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 11:30 a.m. Pacific time. That's 2:30 a.m. or 2:30 p.m. Pacific, Eastern time. So good for you guys. Check that out. We got all sorts of other rewards over there. Oh yeah. This episode, the very last episode of Going In Raw, that's sponsored by the Friendo Workshop. You know what that is? It's my Etsy store. Do you know that I used to do comic books and I got a whole ton of them left in my garage, and I'm selling these bad boys there, because why not, right? Extra money. I got like a little sketchbook thing you can get there, and a ton of like art prints. Look at this. I made a picture of myself, and you can buy that. I'll sign it for you. Do a little sketch too. Thanks to Friendo Workshop for sponsoring going in raw today. Oh man, that never gets old. But I've got 20 orders since I started doing this on Monday. So Larson, you can take the whole week off as far as I'm concerned, because I'm racking up the money while you're gone. I'm joking. I want him back. Anyways, Russell, Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com/ going in raw. The fuck? What the? Oh, it's my niece. What is she bugging me about? It's her birthday. Happy birthday, Talia. Anyways, the t-shirts are on the floor, so I'm not going to pick them up. But we have some really, really great designs there at our Pro Wrestling Tee shop. So be sure to go check those out. Great prices, great designs, quality merchandise. ProWrestlingTees.com/ Going In Raw. So there we go. I got like a chat room going here. So I'm not alone. I'm not really alone. I got our patrons in the sort of YouTube channel chat thing. Somebody asked, will the Etsy store, will the Friendo Workshop still sponsor the show with Larson on board? No, man, no. Once he's back, then that's it. We'll get sponsors. when they show up. So, yeah. Anyways, let's talk about SmackDown. As you guys know, I try to keep it positive. Me and Larson both try to keep it positive. And there are things to like. There's always things to like, no matter what. No matter what, there's always things to like about the shows the WWE puts on. Oh, man. But we're 2 weeks out from SummerSlam. Charlotte and Becky Lynch, neither of them have anything to do so far. They've got 1 week to establish some sort of match with them. There are 11 confirmed matches right now for SummerSlam. The SmackDown Women's Championship is being defended. Naomi's taking on Natalya for that. Or Naomi is the champion, obviously. But perfect opportunity last night to establish something for Charlotte and or Becky Lynch to do. I think they're kind of the two right now that have nothing to do that you can even say. The Hardys have nothing to do because they were supposed to take on the Revival. Reports are that they're going to be taking on the Club in the pre-show, which is great. Something for them to do. The Club really should be on the show and the Hardys should be on the show. So that's something for them to do. Maybe next week, I'm assuming maybe we're going to get Becky Lynch and Charlotte versus Lana and Tamina, maybe in the pre-show. That's a guess of mine, because I can't really see where else this is going to go. Charlotte has to be on the show. Becky Lynch has to be on the show. But last night didn't really do much to establish, you know, matches should be born out of action, right? And so last night, Cena comes out to discuss or to drop a promo about the fact that him and Nakamura put on a match last week for a chance to fight Jinder Mahal at SummerSlam. So Cena comes out, puts over Nakamura, says, "I respect the hell out of him. I shook his hand at the end. I raised his hand, and he hits really hard." That's essentially what he said. He called himself Super Cena again, which is great. He said, "I figured I'd come out here." He said, it was kind of funny, actually. Cena's in a really meta phase right now. In his, you know, what he calls his golden years, he's saying that he doesn't have a lot of time left. And so he refers to himself as Super Cena. Last night, this was actually a pretty funny promo. He talked about the fact that he lost clean. And as you guys know, that doesn't happen very often. It's true. And so Nakamura beat him clean. Anyways, he put over Nakamura and he said that, you know, he's going to be the one going on a SummerSlam to face Jinder Mahal. Out comes Baron Corbin with his new theme music, which I swear just sounds like some dude hitting like a set of drums randomly. It's not, I haven't heard it like, you know, in crystal clear, like quality, but I really liked his old theme. I thought his old theme was just fine. It was like perfect. It like really sort of, I don't know. It built, it was different. It was good. I don't know why he needs new theme music unless they're going to, I don't know. Typically, somebody gets new theme music, I think, if they're going to get like sort of a renewed push. Although he's, you know, Mr. Money in the Bank. What does he need a new push for? Speaking of which, he came out and said, "I'm Mr. Money in the Bank. I do what I want when I want. So respect me." Because I think they mentioned in the video package preceding this that like after the camera, after TV went off the air last week, Corbin came down and Cena beat him up. And Corbin basically said, "You got my business," last week. Cena called him a skinny fat dumpster fire, which is pretty damn funny. I guess some fan in the Toronto crowd had something that said Baron Corbin is a dumpster fire, but Cena added the skinny fat part, which is pretty damn funny. Crowd started chanting dumpster fire. That was good. These Canadian crowds, man, they're good. Baron Corbin basically said, you know, "I don't really need this anymore." He walked away, or he started to walk back up the ramp. Out comes Daniel Bryan, who says, "I don't know if you're..." because Corbin said, "I'm the future." And he says, "I have no problem making the past." Daniel Bryan comes out and says, "I don't know if you're the future or a dumpster fire, but I do know this, you're fighting John Cena at SummerSlam." So, just the match, you know, they just made... it was like 2 weeks before... I don't know, like, there's not a lot of good builds going on. Like, the Universal Championship build is amazing right now over there on Raw. Like, Raw was doing... Raw had, like, had two pay-per-view level matches last night. Or the night before, rather. They had Ambrose and Cesaro, and they had that Roman Braun Last Man Standing. Who wouldn't have wanted to see the Last Man Standing at the? I'm not complaining about it. I think it's great when they have that on Raw. It makes Raw, you know, fun to watch, which is what they want. But man, I'm looking at this. Card here from SmackDown last night. God, there was a lot of just talking. Interview, segment where people stand around. So anyways, the match is set. Corbin versus Cena. I know Larson kind of echoed my sentiment on this. I do get the feeling that he's going to lose to Cena early and then come back in at the Nakamura Jinder Mahal match and try to cash in at that point. Wouldn't surprise me if he failed. I know there was a rumor a while ago that they were going to try to get Carmella to cash in and fail in her cash-in attempt. So I think that might be on that scenario is on the minds of somebody there at SmackDown. Maybe they'll do that with Corbin. But I don't know. I never know week to week if they really like Corbin, if they don't like Corbin. Sometimes I do get the feeling that we've heard before that they might be getting tired of Corbin, but who knows. So anyways, that match is made, Cena versus Corbin. I mean, it'll be what it'll be. It all depends. As always, it all depends on if John Cena wants to put Baron Corbin over. I mean, we saw his, you know, we got, 10 minutes of a match against Nakamura last week, and it was fantastic. It really felt like Cena understood how big Nakamura can be, should be, is. And Cena likes putting those guys over. It's why he put over AJ Styles last year at SummerSlam. I don't know. I get the feeling. I could be wrong about this. I could be completely wrong about this. I get the feeling that Cena won't feel like Baron Corbin has earned the respect of John Cena. I just get that feeling, and I could totally see this. This feels like a Wade Barrett situation, a Nexus SummerSlam situation. I just get the feeling that they're gonna want to book it one way, and Cena might, like, you're gonna hear about this months, years later. Cena's gonna say, "No, we're not gonna do it that way. We're gonna do it my way," and it's gonna be, you know, not putting Baron Corbin over. I'm not saying he should win. Baron Corbin shouldn't win. I mean, he should, but he's not going to. And I get that. It's Cena. But, and especially if he cashes in and actually walks out of SummerSlam as the WWE champion. I don't know. I have a hard time caring about this because if it was Cena versus Nakamura, oh, that would be huge. Cena versus AJ Styles again would be huge. Cena would really show up to work. And I just feel like against Baron Corbin, I don't know if he's going to show up to work. Could be wrong. I just don't see it happening. Next up, we had the Usos versus Sami Zayn and Ty Dillinger. We saw Sami Zayn and Ty Dillinger as a tag team 2 weeks ago? It was like an impromptu tag team match. It was, Aiden English, who didn't show up this week, and Mike Kanellis, who didn't show up this week. They tagged against Sammy and Ty. This is the second time we've seen Sami Zayn and Ty Dillinger tag together. Does this mean they're going to be a team? I don't know. A lot of people like this team. I'm fine with it because it gives Ty Dillinger something to do. I'm not a huge fan necessarily of... Here's my thing. I think Sami Zayn is way bigger than this. He should be way... I think Ty Dillinger is way bigger than this. When you throw two singles guys into a tag team for no real reason, like Seth and Dean are going to be a tag team because they have kind of a story going on. But Sammy and Ty, they have nothing going on, so let's just throw them into a tag team. Did we get confirmation that we're going to get Sami Zayn versus... No, there's no confirmation about Sami Zayn or Mike Kanellis at SummerSlam. I don't think they know what they want to do with that. They just keep on going back and forth with it. Anyways, let's see here. So, yeah, we had the Usos versus Sami Zayn and Ty Dillon. This is fun stuff. Anytime we get Sami Zayn in a match, it's going to be fun. The Usos are a lot of fun to watch these days, man. I'm loving them. At one point, Sami launched himself outside of the ring. I love when they do. The Usos are so good at actual tag team wrestling, especially heel tag team wrestling, when they're doing sort of tags when people aren't paying attention. Anyways, towards the end, Ty ended up trying to go for the tiebreaker. The Usos got the reversal on it. One guy was sort of holding Ty in place while the other guy went up to the top and dropped like a stomp on the back of Ty's knee. And then Uso number two. I have no idea which one was which. I think I can tell them apart now. Pretty sure I can tell them apart now. I just forget who did what in the sequence. Anyways, he got Ty in like a half crab type thing. Made him tap out. Ty Dillinger, the weak link in that particular tag team at this point. So, yeah. After that, the Usos picked up the mics and started dropping a promo on the New Day saying we're going to be the new WWE Tag Champions, SmackDown Tag Champions. And they started doing the hip gyrating thing that the New Day does. As they were doing that, the New Day started cutting their like promo from backstage. Oh, don't be sour. And then Big E comes out to the stage. This was kind of obvious. Big E comes out to the stage and starts doing his like hip gyrations. They always come out together. So, you know, if one guy comes out, the other two are going to sneak up from behind you. The Usos don't understand that particular algorithm. So they didn't pay attention. They were just staring at Big E wiggling his hips. And then Xavier and Kofi come in from behind. And I like this. Again, this is sort of action driving the story. And, you know, it wasn't anything special, but it was like, man, people show up. People pay tickets to see these guys fight, not necessarily to see them talk. Talking is like, you know, that's sort of the, you know, the accoutrement. That's the side dish. But you come there for the steak, man. The steak is the fighting. And the New Day came out. And they laid waste to the Usos. The Usos went running off. The New Day had chairs. It was good, man. I liked it. It was hot. It was good stuff. Probably going to be in the pre-show. I want the Usos to keep those titles, man. I want them to have the titles. They're like the Neville of the tag division. Why is it hard for me to get water out of this thing? Anyways. This is when I need Larson, because I'm sitting here with this, like struggling, trying to get water out of this hydro flask of mine. These are great, by the way. Keep the water super cold, man. You need cold water. You know, heard some people a couple of years ago saying, no, you should drink your water lukewarm. It's better for your body. Get out of here. Throw them over the boat. Let's see here. Then we had a Randy Orton interview with Renee Young, where he said Rusev was in the wrong place, wrong time, saying that he wasn't afraid of anybody in the locker room, and so he decided to do something to scare him. Thing is, like, if you go back to last week, Rusev never appeared scared. He was just chilling in the ring, and he wouldn't let Randy Orton in, and then Randy Orton had to, like, run in and drop an RKO on him. But my doorbell just rang. So anyways, Randy Orton is talking about Rusev, and he's got a match tonight. He has a grudge match tonight against Jinder Mahal. So we all knew where that was headed. This is... I don't know what they're doing. A grudge match for the main event, Randy Orton versus Jinder Mahal. The book on them should have been closed. I understand the point that Randy Orton needs to get a win. He needs to look strong going into SummerSlam. Okay? I get that. But at the expense of the world champion, this... I hate to say that it kills Jinder Mahal, but it kind of kills Jinder Mahal. Anyways, I'll get to that later when I'm talking about the main event. Anyways. Next up, we had the highlight of the night. But it was kind of a letdown highlight of the night. It was Fashion Peaks. Of course, last week's Fashion Peaks, which was obviously a takeoff on Twin Peaks and really, really good one at that, went viral. It, you know, blew up mainstream pop culture media. Anyways, this seemed to have been maybe not the resolution to the entire thing, but there is some resolution here, which I guess is fine, but I don't see where they're going to take the Fashion Police. This is totally, I mean, at least they had a punchline. Okay, so here's the thing. Tyler Breeze was, you know, he's got his board there and he's still wondering about where Fandango was. He's talking to the Ascension. He's got a pie there. The Ascension say, hey, oh, he's telling the Ascension about his vision that he had last week. The Ascension, they just want the pie. So they're bugging about that. There's pie and there's donuts there. The Ascension take the pie. They leave. Fandango finally shows up and, he admits that he was taken by aliens and that he could have left at any time, but they had anal probes. It was funny stuff. Like, you got to watch it. It was funny stuff. It was really, really good. He says the aliens gave him the power of, he wanted to say clairvoyance, but he couldn't figure out how to say the word. He said, they gave me the ability to see in the future. And he says, the next person that walks through that door is the man who destroyed Tully the horse. So Arn Anderson comes in, the enforcer Arn Anderson, and they say, were you the one who destroyed Tully? And he says, you're damn right I did. Everybody knows I was the hoss in that group. Great punchline. And if that was in fact the idea behind Tully getting destroyed, I'm okay with it because that's a joke that's like a month coming. And I'm fine with that because Arn Anderson, Hoss, Horse, Tully Blanchard, I get it. It's funny. It's good. And then he took some donuts. And then Fandango says, our work has just begun. So are they still on the case of who destroyed their office? Now that we know Arn destroyed Tully, Arn wasn't the one that destroyed their office, I don't think. That was somebody else. So I don't know. I mean, maybe somebody here in chat can tell me. I'm pretty sure they're still trying to figure out who destroyed their office because we know that it was aliens that took Fandango and it was Arn Anderson who destroyed Tully the horse, but we still don't know who destroyed the office. So I don't know. It was a funny bit. I'm just thinking that, man, is this going to leave the fashion police with nothing to do now? Or are they still on the case of who destroyed their office? I hope this wasn't the payoff. I want it to be somebody. And I really don't want Sin Cara to be involved, although I guess he's been tagging with Luke Harper with a mask on. I don't really want to see that either. But I guess if it gets Luke Harper, maybe Luke Harper and Sin Cara are a really good team. I don't know. Oh, man. Anyways. They're still, J.S. Wooten says they're still on the office case. Okay, well, at least that's good. Hopefully it's still sanity. Anyways. Moving on. Next up, we had Charlotte versus Lana. So Charlotte, a couple weeks back, had, you know, everybody had expressed interest in wanting to kick Lana's ass. This week, Charlotte got to do it. Charlotte played this up great, man. She was fantastic. She was in the ring giddy. She was very giddy waiting for Lana to come down. Lana came down and Charlotte basically just toyed around with her and ended up tapping her out. At one point, it was pretty funny. At one point, Lana reached up after doing like a sunset flip thing, I think, and like pulled down Charlotte's, like the back of her chonies, and her bum was exposed to the other side of the camera, and the audience got a kick out of that. Started chanting "Thank you, Lana." Charlotte made fun of it later on Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch and her did a little Instagram show. It was cute. I love Charlotte as a face. They really need to do something with her. Like, she's above everybody. That's the problem. There's no credible threat. Maybe Tamina will become. Maybe that's what her and Lana are getting at in that segment later. But anyway, Charlotte made Lana tap out to the figure eight. If we're going to get Charlotte versus Carmella and James Ellsworth for the title, I mean, that's something that could help, you know, put Carmella over and get Charlotte that, another championship run. But, I don't know. I like her as a face. I like that she's having fun out there. I always like to see that. It's kind of like a Seth Rollins thing. But they need to give her something to do. I suspect next week they're going to set up a tag match between Becky Lynch and Charlotte versus Tamina and Lana. That's my suspicion because we got some more stuff with Lana and Tamina a little bit later. After that, we had one of the, I thought, besides Fashion Peaks, this is the best like in-ring segment they had. Shane McMahon comes out. He invites Kevin Owens and AJ Styles, of course, the participants, in the match at SummerSlam for the United States Championship. Shane will be the special guest referee. This is great though. Crowd is very split because of course Kevin Owens I believe is Canadian, and AJ Styles is not, but people love AJ Styles. Some of the best lines that we've seen this year happen during this promo, because Kevin Owens says to Shane McMahon, he says, you know, McMahon, he says, I expect you. He says, I don't want you in this match, Shane, because as we all know, a McMahon already screwed over a legendary Canadian, referring, of course, to the Montreal Screwjob. Fans go crazy about that. And then Kevin Owens with the line of the night says, but that guy deserved it. Whoa, wow. Fans turned on Kevin Owens really quick. That was great. It was perfect. Really well done. Kevin Owens loads up some footage of AJ beating up Shane. He also loads up some footage of Shane McMahon way back in the day screwing over Austin as while Shane was a special guest referee 20 years ago. And he says, you know, they're also all, he said they could literally do a whole classics collection of Shane screwing people out of matches as special guest. So it was a really, really well done. Bit. So anyways, AJ, long story short, AJ says, you know, Kevin Owens, you're trying to stir the pot. And he says, you know, if Shane screws me over, he's going to have to face the repercussions like he did at WrestleMania. And he says, I don't trust anybody, especially a McMahon. So they're really doing a good job of setting up that, you know, AJ and Shane have their problems. Kevin Owens and Shane have their problems. So, you know, nobody can really trust anybody here. Kevin Owens sucker punched AJ Styles, who then reeled and then did a Pele kick, but inadvertently hit Shane McMahon. Kevin Owens got out of the ring laughing. Really well done segment. This was a decent, I thought this was a good, you know, we've had enough matches with these two, so we don't need another one of those. We didn't need a tag team match. This was a really good segment that built up their SummerSlam match. Be interesting to see how they handle this feud in the go-home next week. Next up, we had Lana and Tamina in the locker room. Tamina's slowly getting better with these live segments with, you know, she just doesn't have a lot of experience talking, with a live camera on you. And, as I'm learning, it's really not that easy when it's just you. But anyways, Lana was saying stuff about, you know, how she's got the charisma and she's the ravishing one. And Tamina says, how far did that get you tonight? And then she ends it kind of by saying, you're going to help me get mine. Oh, she says, your ambition is what got you 3 straight title shots. Now you're going to help me get mine. So Tamina, I think, is saying, I'm going to harness your ambition to try to get me some title shots, kind of guessing. Even the commentators were telling me they don't know what it meant. So I don't know. Because of that, because of her match with Charlotte, I'm kind of thinking that maybe Tamina is thinking that a tag match, getting in the mix with Charlotte and Becky Lynch, could be, you know, like a stepping stone for her on the way to a championship opportunity. I'm just pulling that out of my ass, folks. I have no idea. But I think I'm hoping that we're going to get that set up next week. Let's see here. Next up, we had Carmella coming out. She's going to fight Naomi. So Miss Money in the Bank taking on the champion. And of course, Ellsworth's suspension was over. So of course, Ellsworth, who the crowd was chanting for, comes out from underneath the ring when Naomi, you know, after the match is sort of underway and you know, they've done a little bit. Naomi got off those terrible kicks that she does. But Naomi's getting better in the ring. I think all the time as champion and the time with Charlotte, she's getting better. Like she can carry an okay match. She goes up to the top turnbuckle. Ellsworth shows up, pushes her off. Crowd popped huge for him. Carmella ended up going over. And a lot of people are asking me on Twitter, at Real Going In Raw, hey, Steve, why didn't Carmella just cash in at that point? That's a good question. I mean, my only sort of suggestion there is Because here's the thing, Baron Corbin had an opportunity. Oh, yeah, at the end of the night. Because Jinder Mahal lost. And so I thought that made a bit more sense because Baron Corbin was completely fresh, hadn't been in a match. Carmella had just got done with like half a match. So maybe you could say, and then on top of that, if you're cashing in and Ellsworth is there, maybe they would consider that an immediate DQ. I don't know. There's no logic to it. What do you want? There's no logic to it. You're right. Carmella should have cashed in at that moment. Baron Corbin should have cashed in at the end of the night. But, you know, then at SummerSlam, what's going to happen? Nothing. So, you know, you have to let go of logic sometimes. Anyways. Crowd popped big for Ellsworth. Later on, backstage, Natalya runs into Carmella and Ellsworth. She runs down Ellsworth, tells them, "They at SummerSlam, you guys need to mind your business." Carmella says, "I am Miss Money in the Bank. I don't want to mind my business." So we're going to see, we're going to see something at SummerSlam. Will it be a cash-in? I don't know. Are we going to see two failed cash-ins at SummerSlam? I don't think so. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens at SummerSlam. Let's see here. Next up, we had a Shinsuke. This is a well-done interview. I just feel like, I know Shinsuke doesn't have much to do. The Randy Orton Jinder Mahal match, that didn't need to happen. They should have done like a house show circuit and then maybe showed footage of that. Like, we're doing house show matches where, they're doing grunge matches, grudge matches between Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal. So they didn't have to put that on TV. But you have 2 weeks till SummerSlam. Why not do something with Jinder Mahal and Shinsuke Nakamura? Instead, they did this interview. Shinsuke, and they did it. They cut it really well. They showed like some video footage. They had some like music going. Shinsuke didn't talk too much, but man, his English is getting better, a lot better. And the lines they gave him, the dialogue they gave him was very effective, I thought. And he said the Shinsuke dynasty is going to begin. It was good, man. I'll say this. It was a decent segment, but, we're 2 weeks away from SummerSlam. You could have done something with Jinder Mahal, I feel. So, anyways. Let's see here. And then we had the Jinder Mahal-Randy Orton grudge match. Somebody was asking me on Twitter what the rules to a grudge match are. I think the rule is just if two guys have like personal beef with each other. But it was a non-title grudge match. And honestly, it was the best match these two have had. But the matches they've had, let's see, they had the Punjabi prison. That was hilariously bad. You had the one where his family was out there. I don't think there was any stipulations. But the Singh brothers weren't involved in this one. And that's what made it the better match. Randy Orton went over clean against the champ. Doesn't that kill Jinder going into SummerSlam? Like, I don't see the point of that besides what, satiating Randy's ego. But I don't know if he seems like the kind of guy who really gives a shit about that. It's like, I don't know. Like at this stage in his career, he cares about coming out on the losing end of constant cheating from Jinder Mahal. Do you really need, we all understand. We all get that Randy Orton, within the universe of the WWE, is a superior competitor to Jinder Mahal, who cheats all the time. Do we really need to see Randy pin Jinder clean? I don't know. So, Jinder Mahal, who finally, by the way, when he comes out, he was holding that title. Like, he knows how to hold the title now. He's pretty smooth with it in his entrance. So that's good. But anyway, Randy, he beat him clean. And then Randy goes up the ramp celebrating. And you can tell he keeps on sort of looking back because he knows that Rusev is about to come out and attack him. He turns around, Rusev kicks him. Orton goes down, we fade to black. That's the end of the show. And then I think that show Sinner was on with Jessica Biel. I didn't really watch it. I watched some of it. There's like one sequence where Bill Pullman... Is it Bill Pullman? Yeah. he was like having some lady like step on his hands as like foreplay or something. So I don't know what that's all about. Anyways, I'm going to take some questions now on the Patreon. Oh, man. Connor Dunmore, name five SmackDown stars who could do with a new theme. None. Nobody. I want Baron Corbin to go back to his old theme. Ty's is good. Sammy's is great. Lana's is great. Charlotte's is great. Becky Lynch's is great. Naomi's is great. Randy's is iconic at this point. Jinder's is great. Cena's is great. Daniel Bryan's is great. The Usos is great. New Day's great. The Ascensions is cool too. Aiden English doesn't have a theme song, does it? He just sings. That's awesome. Nobody, stop dicking with theme songs. Baron Corbin's theme song was just fine the way it was. Goodness gracious. All right. Pop out chat. Let's see here. We got some of your suggestions here in chat about Carmella. Carmella, as long as they start Carmella's theme song, when like the beat starts, then it's fine. When it had, and I think they do that now, when it has like the whole opening thing, it's no good. Let's see here. Alex Foster, the fat bastard champ, even if SmackDown is a tightly packed show, do you think cruiserweights having matches every now and then on the show would be a good idea? No, because it's a tightly packed show. You kind of answer your own question there, Alex Foster. Oh, man. Oh, no, I don't know. I mean, no, not really. I mean, Raw has 3 hours. Keep them there. Although, yeah, keep them there. SmackDown already can't handle who they have. Alex C. in chat suggests that Chad Gable could do with a new theme to distance himself from the tag team theme. But I'll put it this way. It's better than if it's better than Jason Jordan's new theme. That's terrible. That's awful. So if you're going to give Chad Gable a new theme, man, make it a good one. Get CFOs to do it. Let's see here. What two current faces do you want to see face off at a pay-per-view? Nakamura versus Styles is an easy one. Joshua Martinez wants to see Ty versus Sammy. He says maybe that could lead them into becoming a tag team. They are a tag team already. Joshua Martinez, already a tag team. That being said, the answer is easy. Charlotte versus Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch has a clean victory over Charlotte from SmackDown a month ago. I would love to see this. They're best friends. They're both faces. No need for anybody to turn heel. Just have them go at it in a show of like a 2 out of 3 falls match. That'd be good. Who wouldn't want to see that? Eddie Jose Guevara Menjivar. I don't do the rolling R's very. Menjivar! I gotta work on my rolling R's. What are the odds that Baron Corbin cashes in and doesn't win the title? I have a sneaking suspicion they're gonna do that. I have a sneaking suspicion they're gonna do that, but the odds of Carmella trying to cash in and win the title, I think, and not winning it, I think are better. Mainly because we've heard that that might be the case. Or that that's what they wanted to do. If they really want to make a star out of... If they really want to make a star out of Shinsuke Nakamura, could you imagine like the crowd pop that would... Because he's huge right now. Usually when somebody cashes in, it doesn't matter who it is. If they cash in, the crowd is happy. I think they were bummed out when Sheamus cashed in. Even on Roman Reigns, I think the crowd was not happy with that. But 9 times out of 10, the crowd is huge because it's like something new. It's something fresh. It's like, oh, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. If Baron Corbin cashes in on Shinsuke, I think people will not be happy about that because we really want a Shinsuke title reign. But if he fails, I think that's going to be the one time where a failed cash in, the crowd would go apeshit over it. I really kind of believe that. People in chat right now are talking about a third hour SmackDown. I don't think they could do that until the new TV contract comes up. Wouldn't surprise me if they tried to get the same money and add a third hour SmackDown, because I don't think production-wise it would add that much to the show, like monetarily. But, you know, the ad revenue they can make off of a third hour of SmackDown, I think it would be silly for them not to consider it. But then I'm not a businessman. I don't know. Let's see here. Ooh, we got a power rankings request from Darth Katus. Top five wrestlers who have got themselves the most over since the brand split. He says Strowman, Joe, Miz, Bliss, and Breezango. I'm going to agree with, I'd say Alexa Bliss, number one. I'd say two is probably The Miz. Three, Carmella. Four. Finn Balor. He wasn't even there before the split. And all he really does is sit there and look cool. Five, Baron Corbin. Good point here from the chat. Dami Ray says they need to do an overrun. That, I think, would actually be huge for SmackDown. Because the thing about Raw that I like is that it's always kind of, you never know. Like, you go into, it's like, oh, how much of the overrun are they going to do? Like, they give themselves time to breathe, and you never know exactly when it's going to, when the payoff's going to happen. With SmackDown, you're sitting there, and it's, you know, 6:59 here on the West Coast, if we're getting the East Coast feed. And I know it's going to end in a minute, you know? The more unpredictability you can add to wrestling, the better it is. Let's see here. Heavy D up in the limousine asks, do you think Shinsuke can have a good championship run, or will it be short-lived? He can. It should go all the way through Mania, where he fights AJ Styles. And if that's the case, that feud can be a lot of money. Be a lot of money right there. Ooh. See, this is what I need Larson here. Old King Cole Kerfman says, if Sammy and Ty become an official team, should they get a new name, and what could it be? Or just Sammy and Ty? That's a terrible name if it's just Sammy and Ty. I don't know. What's a good tag team name for them? Chat's usually better for this than I am. The Perfect Zane. I was putting over Sammy. Let's see here. Ooh, good question, Michael Berry. If there was an inter-brand women's tag team belt, who would you two put together to be the inaugural champs? An inter-brand women's tag team belt. Wait, I don't even get the question. I assume he means one woman from each brand. I thought he was going to say intergender. Before I read it, I just saw inter, and I was like, ooh, intergender? Intergender tag teams. That'd be fun wrestling. I'd put Sami Zayn and Becky Lynch together because their theme songs are essentially the same thing. I would like that. Let's see here. We call the Live Sex Show Championship. Benny Inzer, good question. Do you think Shane will intentionally cost either Styles or Kevin Owens the match at SummerSlam? Benny here thinks that Shane's going to cost KO the title, and their rumored feud will begin. I don't want to see a feud that lasts all the way from SummerSlam to Mania. And I, from what I understand, the feud is going to be culminating in Mania. Although it makes all the sense in the world for AJ to win. Kevin Owens feels like Shane is jacking him, basically, is screwing him over, and that leads to Survivor Series. I could see that happening. But I don't think Shane is going to intentionally do it. I think there's going to be the accidental appearance that he's going to cost him the title. Danger Dolan says, Cena is becoming more likable now that he is more meta. If we get Roman versus Cena at Mania and Cena gets cheered, is that mission accomplished for Vince? Good question. I have no idea. I don't know if Vince cares that Cena gets cheered. And I think Vince cares that Roman gets cheered. I don't think he cares that Cena gets the boo earns treatment, the yay nay treatment. I think it's mission accomplished if Roman gets cheered, right? Maybe. I don't know. I find it funny. RJ Colquitt, one of my favorite names here in our Patreon group of friendos, says, you guys should do a going in raw view of December to December 2006. Literally the worst pay-per-view. Here's the thing about that. I started to watch that because we were going to do it, but it's just boring. And there's nothing worse to review than things that are boring. The card is terrible. I watched the first two matches and I was like, I don't have anything to say about this because it's just boring. It just looks like a bad episode of WWE's ECW. So probably not going to go on the list unless there's overwhelming demand for it. Alex Carenti has a question. Says the U.S. title picture right now is intriguing. We are getting a lot of teases at a Shane turn or some kind of shenanigans. I've always enjoyed a heel Shane. And unlike Steph, Shane normally allows wrestlers to get their revenge on him. Good point. Do you guys want to see a heel Shane? I agree that I think Shane is a terrific heel. It might be too much of a character shift for him to go full heel. And I like my character shifts to at least have some sort of motivation behind them. And I like to see it happen as opposed to just, I'm good going in, now I'm going to be bad. Traditionally, when that worked back in the day, these days when they prefer their characters to just... I mean, say what you will, I'll say this. Everybody who's asking for a Roman Reigns heel turn, they're getting him over in a way that, on sort of their own terms. I'm not saying that this is planned or not, but they've stuck with who Roman Reigns is. They've stuck with it. He comes out, he beat The Undertaker, he retired The Undertaker at Mania, and he brags about it, as he should. And that and the Braun Strowman thing, in my mind, I mean, he might be getting boos, and the Roman Reigns experiment might be coming to an end. I don't know what that even means, really. They're going to probably put the Universal title on him either at SummerSlam, Survivor Series, the Rumble, or Mania. Well, I would say either Survivor Series or Mania, they're going to put the title on him. And then they'll find out whether or not he's going to be a draw or not. Or he can be like the face of the company or not. But they haven't taken any drastic course changes. And I am entertained by Roman Reigns these days because of how they're booking him in this feud. How they're booking this feud in general. Him and Braun. Him and the Universal title scene has been the most entertaining thing leading to SummerSlam. And I'm on board with Roman Reigns. Do I want him to win? Not really. But I enjoy his place in all this, and I like that he comes out and he brags about beating The Undertaker, but he does it in a Roman Reigns way, which is sort of a very understated way. You can call it a lack of natural charisma, or you can call it, you know, just Roman being Roman. I don't know, but I'm okay with what they've been doing. Anyways, let's see here. Oh, here we go. The NWO's 145th member says, hey, friendos, first-time patron, first-time question asker. So we saw last night Corbin came in with a new theme. So power rank wrestlers that need a new theme or should go back to their old theme. Okay, I'll do that. No, I don't know about that one. Who should go back to their old theme besides Baron Corbin? Who has an old theme? I'll just think about this on the fly because I've already sort of talked about wrestlers that need a new theme, and I just don't think they're out there. Who needs a new theme over on Raw? Because I couldn't think of anybody on SmackDown. Who should go back to an old theme? Who has like a newer theme? John Cena should go back to his, what was that? The Word Life. Thugonomics theme. I always like that one. So that's one. Baron Corbin, two. Who else should go back to an old theme? Seth Rollins should go back to before the somebody screams, "Burn it down!" So there's three. No, was that three or four? I don't know. Who else? Randy Orton should go back to his old theme. That was like 10 years ago. Terrence Thompson and I are on the same page. Without the burn it down! All right. Callisto's new theme? Did Callisto ever have a good theme? Oh no. Update from Larson. Airline lost his bag. He's the airline's healing up on Larson over there. Let's see here. Do you think... All right, so we'll end with this one, and then I'm going to do trivia for chat. I'll do that off camera. I'll do it for the patrons exclusively. Scott Hall's Toothpick asks, do you think they will have both Money in the Bank winners cash in on the same night? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say this. I'm going to say Carmella will. I'm going to say Baron Corbin is going to tease it, but he's not going to do it. Unless Carmella does it and wins and Baron Corbin does it and loses. I can kind of see that too. I don't know. I think Carmella walks out of SummerSlam as champion. And I'm going to say Baron Corbin doesn't and Shinsuke does. That's my prediction. We're going to do official predictions next week. Anyways. I'm going to do trivia with my patrons, with our patrons, with the patrons. That's it for the show. I hope you enjoyed going in Steve because Larson's back tomorrow, assuming he gets his bag back. We'll get an update on that story tomorrow. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate it. Go to Etsy.com/shop/MFSteve here. This is a decent book. I wrote it and I drew it because I got skills, people. Thanks for tuning in. I'll talk to you guys later.